Have you ever noticed that spiritual ideas are a lot like folding chairs? Some of them are easy to unfold, and you know, you just take the chair and plop it down, and it unfolds and right where you want it to, and you can sit down. Then other times, you set the chair down, and nothing happens. It won't unfold. So you have to use two hands, and sometimes you have to put your foot on there, and finally the chair unfolds. Spiritual ideas are a lot like that. Sometimes they unfold easily, and sometimes they don't. And also, sometimes some of them are a lot more comfortable than other folding chairs. You ever have one of them folding chairs? It just seems like whoever made the back on that chair just should have put a razor blade on there and just cut into my back and get it over with. So, last Sunday, Alan gave a talk on fasting, and I really appreciated that and enjoyed it. But it was just one of them ideas. The chair wasn't unfolding for me. I wasn't getting it. You know, why is that pleasing to God? Why is my not eating pleasing to God? And it just kept bugging me and kept bugging me. And I knew I was on the talk. And if you know how I get talks, I'm a last minute. I can't seem to do anything ahead of schedule. So all I could think about was, why is fasting pleasing to God? I mean, why is that? So here we go. And also, I cut into Alan's time because I got long-winded on my Lord's table and probably cut off what would have solved my problem. But anyway. So here we go. Fasting. This is my definition. Is not eating or not drinking, or one or the other, or both, or limiting of food, rationing, you could say, of food, you know, avoiding, I'm not going to eat oatmeal this week, or I'm only going to eat oatmeal, or something like that. And in order to share with someone else. The reason for spiritual fasting is worshiping God. Okay, that's the point of spiritual fasting. There's other kinds of fasting. You know, you get blood work done. You gotta fast so that they get accurate numbers or something. But anyway, for spiritual fasting, it's all about worshiping God. That's what it's about. So keep that in mind. As we go through this. Let's see here. And so the idea is to move closer to God. And so as I'm giving up food or whatever and I'm fasting, always before, I've thought about doing this before, and I have done some of it before. And all I can think about is, man, I'm awfully hungry, and everybody else is eating, and this is just not, you know, I'm just, I want to eat, and then I'll drink some more water, and, well, that works for about 2 minutes, and then, I want some food, and my belly is just talking to me, and you know, how is this pleasing to God? And then it dawned on me, or actually, Alan was, it was after services, and he said this very roughly, because I can't remember exactly what he said, but it was something about, if you don't pray to God while you're fasting, you're going to eat everything in the house. And that struck the chord for me. That was, like, well, that's why fasting is pleasing to God, is because, not because I'm hungry or because I'm doing without something. It's because I'm going to Him and asking for the help to get through or over this hurdle, this hunger. James, I'm going to go to James. Might keep your finger in James because I'm going to be there a few times. James chapter 1, 26 and 27. It's the ESV version. Okay, if anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his... All right, let me start over. I'm in the right place here. Yep. Okay, if anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God, the Father, is this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unstained from the world. Okay, keep that in mind. Now flip over to Isaiah chapter 58. Isaiah 58, and my subtitle at the beginning says, True and False Fasting. Cry aloud and do not hold back. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Declare to my people their transgression, to the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily, and delight to know my ways, as if they were a nation that did righteousness, and did not forsake the judgment of their God. They ask of me righteous judgments. They delight to draw near to God. Why have we fasted, and you see it not? Why have we humbled ourselves, and you take no knowledge of it? Behold, in the day of your fast, you seek your own pleasure, and oppress all your workers. Behold, you fast only to quarrel and to fight, and to hit with a wicked fist. Fasting like yours this day will not make your voice to be heard on high. Is such the fast that I choose? A day for a person to humble himself. Is it to bow down his head like a reed and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Will you call this a fast and a day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I chose? To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the straps of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free and to break every yoke. Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and to bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, you cover him, and not to hide yourself from your own flesh. Then shall your light break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up speedily. Your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and he will say, Here I am. If you take away the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger and the speaking of wickedness, if you pour yourself out for the hungry and satisfy the desire of the afflicted, then shall your light rise in the darkness, and your gloom be as the noonday. And the Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your desire in scorched places, and make your bones strong. And you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water, whose waters do not fail. And your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt. You shall raise up the foundation of many generations. You shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to dwell in. If you turn back your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, and the holy day of the Lord honorable, if you honor it, not going your own ways, or seeking your own pleasure, or talking idly. Then you shall take delight in the Lord, and I will make you ride on the heights of the earth. I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. I wasn't sure where to stop on that chapter, so I read the whole thing. But, so, I want to go back a little bit to talking about fasting. So what is fasting? Fasting is, all of you probably fast. I know Brighton and Caleb fast. I know Bobby probably fasts. And there's other people in here who probably avoid salt and butter or stuff like that. You avoid those things and you stay away from them because they you've been told to, and you know that kind of thing is not good for you in certain cases. And so people fast; they avoid different things. You probably avoid other things. People avoid alcohol and tobacco and things like that because, you know, that's something that is addictive and can lead to problems. And so we fast from those things. And so there's fasting is not necessarily something that we are unfamiliar with. I think in America we thrive on feasting. Okay, everything is a reason for feasting, which we talked about last Sunday. And you have a wedding, you have food, right? You have a funeral, you have food, and so it just goes with everything. In our culture, anyway. And so, but we're not as unacquainted with it as I was thinking I was earlier. So, fasting is, you take for here, the true fast here was share your bread with the hungry. And what I'd say in James, that taking care of the widow and the orphan. So fasting doesn't necessarily mean I'm not eating at all. It could mean I'm not eating as much as I would normally eat because I'm also feeding these other people or something along those lines. You've probably all given up some of your food to feed one of your kids or something along those lines. So, you have fasted. So, why in the world is this pleasing to God? Well, for one, we're taking care of others. Pure religion is taking care of the orphans and the widows. And at this time, in biblical times, the orphans and the widows didn't have providers. They didn't have people to go out and work for them and to bring home the paycheck, to bring home the food. And so these people were going hungry and suffering because of their social status in this life. And so the people who were following God were to take those people into their care, I guess you'd say, and provide for them. And so that would be, in one sense, fasting. Because you would be giving up what you would normally eat and applying it to somebody else. Also, another thing, if you look at the first fast they were talking about, who was the point of the fast in the first one? In the day of the fast, you seek your own pleasure. So, I'm thinking about myself. I'm fasting, so it's all about me. It's my belly that's empty, and so I'm the one that's getting the attention here. And so, I press my workers. You know, I'm hungry. What happens when a kid is growly and says, oh, they're just hungry? Well, it goes for adults as well, and maybe it shouldn't, but when we're hungry, we tend to get grumpy and growly and start mistreating those around us, and that is not the way we should act. behold, you fast only to quarrel and to fight. So you hit with the wicked fist. So I'm hungry, and you got food, and I want it. So I'm going to take it from you. You know, that's not a good fast. Fasting like yours this day will not make your voice to be heard on high. So God is not pleased with that kind of fasting. He doesn't care if you're fasting for days on end and if your attitude is wrong and you are acting badly because of it, then that fast is not going to do anything for you in drawing you nearer to God. The first thing I wanted to do when I got up here is I wanted to, James 4 and 8 says, draw near to God and He will draw near to you. So there's something that we can do to actually get closer to God. Something that is physical. I'm a physical, visual person. And so I like the spiritual world is kind of out there, just out of reach type of thing. And so I really like this idea of the fasting because it's something that I can actually do that brings me closer to God. All right. So, let's go to Matthew 6. Matthew 6, 16 through 18. And when you fast, this is kind of repeating. And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. So, the false fast in Isaiah, what was involved? Sackcloth and ashes. Okay? So they were, you know, have you ever been around cleaning up a campfire or something? That ash just, it's like a magnet. And it just gets all over you and just sticks to you. And so that would be a highly visible sign that if I come in and I got ashes all over me and I'm wearing burlap, you guys are going to know something's up. Okay? Something is definitely up with him. And so what would that do? That would draw attention to me. You would be looking at me, and so that's not what the goal of fasting is. The goal of fasting is to pay attention to God. So one of the verses that was used was God is their belly. So when you're fasting, what are you focusing on? Or what's the tendency to focus on? Your belly. Because it's empty and it's thinking your throat is cut and nothing's coming down the line. So it wants something in there. So this also kind of got me excited about fasting because it's a physical thing. It's kind of a training. Fasting is a decision on my part, okay? I decide, it's on my part. So I decide I'm going to fast, okay? So that's stressful, okay? It's putting stress on my systems. My body's going, what's going on here? Why isn't there anything coming down the line? My brain is preoccupied with this new situation. You know, why is this way and stuff like that? And so it's stressful. Well, what is we have all kinds of stories, the Guidepost Magazine, internet stories and stuff like that where people like Matt's story and the older brother taking the strikes from the ruler. I mean, I probably wouldn't have thought of that. I would have let Sarah get whacked, probably. And it's a good idea, and very loving and all that stuff, and it was very touching. And but we thrive on these kind of stories, don't we? They're hero stories. They're stories of someone who behaved very well in a stressful situation and did the right thing. You know, they did just the right thing. And we really enjoy those. And that's what fasting can be. Fasting can be me practicing in slow motion how stress is. So I put myself under this stress. It's all voluntary. There's nobody adding more stress to it. So my belly starts rumbling, and I realize that's the sign that I am to turn to God to solve this. It's not my my self will, my power, that I'm going to muscle my way through this and I'm going to make it to my goal, whatever that may be. That wouldn't be a good fast. A good fast would be when my stomach starts rumbling. All right, I'm in trouble. I'm under stress. I'm going to go to God in prayer. I'm going to say, God, I know this seems a little silly right at the moment, but I'm going to ask you for help to help me get past this hunger pain. And what will that do? That teaches my brain that when I get under stress and under, say, I'm in a car accident, and I'm still conscious, of course, and operating correctly, and so I go to God in prayer because I'm under stress and I'm going to need help here, and so I go to God for help and guidance. I don't rely on myself for that, which is my tendency. Prayer is not my first impulse. When something happens, I don't go to God first. I guess I rely on myself first. And it's worked for me so far, but I can see the downfall in it. So, that being said, let's go to Matthew 6. So we're just jumping back a few verses. Verse 1. And fasting, you know, I think of fasting as being something like on the black belt level of awesome. You know, that's what awesome Christians do. You know, that's the high level. You know, they're about ready to go to heaven or whatever. You know, they're the ones that fast. It's not us ordinary pew sitters that fast. But it's not true. So that's not true at all. So verse number 1 here says, 1 through 6, beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. So why do we have our collection and we try to make it so, you know, people, you aren't having to come up front and put your money in front of everybody, or, you know, it's not a show where everybody's aware of how much money you're putting in the basket and stuff. We try to keep that as private as possible. And this is why, okay? Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. So prayer, what do? We have public prayer, but we don't have our private prayers, and we try to keep our public prayers from being a show of, you know, how good our vocabulary is and all that, and how religious we are. So we want to keep our prayers private, so that, and so fasting is the same way. You go and jump back. I already read this. And when you fast, do not look gloomily like the hypocrites. So don't, nobody else knows you're fasting, for they disfigure their faces and their fast, that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. So this is, fasting is right up there with prayer and giving. And so this is one of the points I wanted to make, was that you're already participating in fasting, even though you probably, if I were to ask you at the beginning of the service, if you fasted regularly, most of you, I'm going to guess, would say, no, I don't fast regularly. But fasting is doing something doing without something with the intention of becoming closer to God by doing that, and without bringing glory to yourself, because there's a really close relative in there that is doing things just because it's painful or uncomfortable. And you have to be careful of that as well. All right. So let's go to Matthew 4, 1 through 4. Now this one, I think Alan and Doug both used these Sunday and then Wednesday. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." And he answered, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." And I sat and looked at this one for quite a while. This one wasn't sinking in. And I'm still not sure it's sunk in. My chair may only be half deployed at this moment, but it's looking like a chair anyway. So, this is obviously miraculous. 40 days and 40 nights fasting. And we don't know for sure exactly what his fast included. So this may have physically been possible, or it may be miraculous. I'm not sure. But but Jesus definitely had the power to look at a rock and say, "Boy, doesn't that rock look an awful lot like a loaf of bread? I thought about getting a rock and bringing it up here, but I didn't." So anyway, Jesus would have no problem at all in making a rock into a loaf of bread. That would be, he fed the 4,000, he fed the 5,000. And then his apostles were arguing over, soon after that, because Jesus was talking about leaven and different things, using bread analogies, and they're arguing, it's because we forgot to bring bread. And he just got done feeding thousands of people. And he says, don't you get it? Bread is not a problem. That is not the problem. So, it's not the physical bread that's the problem. That's no problem. Man shall not live by bread alone. So, if I were to, I'm done eating. I'm going to die, okay? There's no doubt about it. I will be dead. So, what's that mean? Man shall not live by bread alone. Well, what happens if I eat every day, every 2 hours, I eat a full meal? Am I going to live forever? Nope. I'm going to die. So, if I eat bread, I die. If I don't eat bread, I'm going to die. So that's not the point. The point is that after this, it's a spiritual death. So the second half is, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. So whether I eat or whether I don't eat, I'm still going to die. But if I don't eat and I still do what God wants, I'm going to live, at least spiritually. I'll die physically, but I'll still live spiritually and be with Him. So next time, this example is a wonderful example. I get in so many pickles where, like, how did I get here? I got this huge temptation in front of me, and I don't feel a desire to get away from it right at the moment. And I'm right here on the edge of it. And the Word of God would come in so handy right now, wouldn't it? The Word of God would be wonderful there. Problem is getting it, that's why the training, I think, is so useful, is having the training that when I get this feeling, I'm going to call it, because you can tell. I mean, just this morning, I was feeling pretty spiritual because, you know, I've been reading a lot and studying and staying up late and writing and, you know, just been really into studying God's Word and stuff. And for some reason, I can't remember what it was now, I was running hot water in the sink and I was washing my hands. I was washing something the dog had been chewing on that wasn't supposed to be chewing on. And Cassidy come up, and she just kind of and takes my hot water. And man, I was mad instantly, just like that. And I was like, oh, there's that feeling. All right. And I was able to come back down off of that. And so I didn't say anything too sharp to her or anything like that. I think I had opened my mouth and started to speak. So I had to kind of modify what I was going to say. But the brain did recognize it. It did catch it. So training does work. I mean, it works. So I'm getting there. By the time I'm dead, I'll be almost up to 1%. All right, so anyway, so I like the fasting idea because it allows me to put myself in a stressful position. It really isn't stressful. I mean, what happens if I break my fast? Nope. I guess the fast is done. I start a new one. Okay? So, it's like a diet. What's a diet? Fasting. I'm not going to eat sugar. I'm not going to eat, you know, I'm only going to eat pineapples and green beans or, you know, something along those lines. And so you're fasting. And so when you fall off the wagon on a diet, you just get back on again and go again. So the same as here. There's no penalty that I know of yet for breaking a fast. So, okay. All right. Let's go to, I want to hit James 1 and 20. I got it written down actually. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. So when you're fasting, you have to remember why you're doing it. I'm not doing it because I got 3 hours and 50, 3 hours and 47 minutes and 5 seconds left, and then I can eat that whatever it is. That's not the right reason. The reason you're fasting is to become closer to God. So you need to watch these feelings. So when the stress is on you and the feeling is on you that I'm going to bite this person's head off because they're eating that whatever it is in front of me, and and I'm just ready to rip into somebody, there's that feeling, and you need to go to God. Remember God. I'm doing this because I'm serving God. And then you come back down off of that and train yourself that when stress happens, I go to God. Okay? All right. All right, so fasting, these are some of the things I came up with fasting does. Fasting makes me humble. When you're fat and sassy, are you very humble? Not generally. I'm on top of the world, I'm successful, I'm doing this, I'm eating all the time I want to and all this stuff. So if you do a voluntary fast, it's kind of like voluntarily putting yourself in a lower position. It's asking God for help. Fasting is very good for asking God for help. Help you get through it. It's a good practice run, handling stress and turning to God during the stress. And it also makes you thankful for food. So, very thankful for food. And it also gives you, I think it's the right word, empathy for those who don't have food or who are hungry. So, it gives you understanding on that. It gives you contentment and patience. Because eventually I'm going to eat, right? I mean, this is America after all. I mean, you just go to the back of the building and I'm pretty sure there's food back there, right? Yep. So, there's food. So, it should give you patience and contentment. I'm not going to starve to death. God is more important than food. I ran into this. This caught me by surprise. Quite some time ago, I was getting a lesson, and I was hungry. And I was thinking about fasting. And all I could think about was my stomach. And so I was like, well, until I eat something, I'm not going to be able to get this lesson. And then I thought about, well, wait a minute. That didn't come out right. So what was first in that? My stomach, my belly, was higher priority than getting a lesson. I don't know how far you want to take that, but for me, it struck a chord that maybe I need to rethink this just a little bit. All right. So, I'm going to end with 2 Corinthians 12. All right, where did it go? Second Corinthians 10 and 12. No, 2 Corinthians 12 and 10. Let's try that. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weakness, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. I think one of the huge things behind fasting is just realizing that I'm not the top dog in this game. God is most important. And if I can remember that, I can eat and I will die. And if I don't eat, I'm going to die. But if I don't eat physical food and I still follow God, then I will live spiritually. I will go to heaven and I will live forever. So that's a pretty good ending, really. I mean, God has given us the happy ending. We will, whatever the beginning is, the ending is the same if we follow Him. So if there's anybody here, we'll offer the invitation. If anybody's here that wants to become closer to God, become one of His family, we can help you with that as we stand and sing the closing song.